It's spoiler in time, folks, where we take all the hard work we do on our other show, Cord Killers, and apply it to our eyeballs by watching television or movies and then talking about them right here. This week, we're going to talk about the Larry Sanders Show, Arthur's Crises, and End of the Season, episode 16 and 17 of season 3. Also, Westworld's season finale, episode 8 of season 3. And Rick and Morty is back from its mid-season hiatus with episode 6 of season 4. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Heck yeah, man. And does it pain me to give my honest opinion of what I thought of this Rick and Morty episode? Now, it might be that it was just...
Well, hold on.
Oh.
Let's talk about Rick and Morty. What was the name of this episode anyway?
It had the word Rick in it. The Never Ricking Morty.
Episode, Never Ricking Morty.
Never Ricking Morty. Let's talk about that. Brian, tell me about it.
Okay, so every year they've had an anthology series. It started with Interdimensional Cable. That was a whole bunch of, you know, just improvised cable television stuff. Freaking hilarious. In general, really good. It had a strong core story. You know, the B-plot was a relationship thing, and meanwhile, Rick and Morty are just watching TV. They, one season later, they titled it Tempting Fate, because they were doing the exact same thing, only this time the B-story was like in a hospital. They were stuck in a waiting room. The third time they did something different, they sort of spelled it out. It was Morty's Mind Blowers, I think it was called. And also very strong backstory spine. And they did a wink and a nod where Rick looks at the camera and says, by the way, we're doing this instead of Interdimensional Cable this year. I got really annoyed at how much they kept on shouting that none of this counted. This was just a dumb pitch episode where anything anybody in the writer's room said got made into a 10-second animation, and Rick kept saying, it doesn't count, it's not canon. And then they it was so on the nose. If you've read about Dan Harmon's story circles and stuff, it was too meta for me. It was so meta as to anytime I dared to almost care about the core story, it would immediately say, stop caring about the core story. And it ultimately kind of lost me. I thought they were good bits. Not my favorite episode.
Yeah, Paste Magazine and you have the same take on this episode. Paste Magazine says, Rick and Morty almost swallows itself whole in a too meta episode.
Oh, that's so funny because the comment I made on Weird Things was, who would have thought that Rick and Morty would have itself up its own butt and not have it be a visual gag? Like, just unironically.
It's incredibly fitting as this episode disappears so far and deep into its own ass.
No
that
way!
Is what Paste Did you write this Paste Magazine article?
That's amazing.
it's obviously a take, it's not just you. I am Schrodinger's Rick and Morty viewer on this episode. Part of me admires just how committed to the bit they are and how far they took it, because they know they've taken it far in the past. And so if they're going to take it far, they have to get as self-referential as possible. And I admired that never letting go, never actually committing to a storyline. And like, okay, if we're not going to have a storyline, we're just going to not have a storyline. We're never going to let it happen. And that becoming the storyline, there was a certain amount of beauty in that sort of outline of a story materializing in spite of itself. On the other hand, I too also was kind of annoyed that we never got a story, and that you had to think about it that much, especially because some of the gags, I guess maybe they fell flat for me. And if there'd been better gags, kind of like Interdimensional Television, I would have liked it better. But especially early on when they were like, let me tell you the story of Christmas, or let me tell you the story about dating Rick and I'm the Ice Queen. It just, those didn't land as well for me.
The only one that I thought was strong, and they touched on it more than once to set up the kind of running bit, was whenever he insisted that Morty tell a story, it was like a phenomenally bad story, but they acted it out without really spelling it out for you what was happening. And I think maybe that worked for me because it didn't make a big deal of spelling it out for me, as opposed to every other part of the main story where they were constantly spelling stuff out for me.
Well, they were spelling stuff out, but it was also a constant commentary on what a writer goes through. So while they were spelling out what they were doing, the implication was, the why is because a writer has to do these kinds of things. So I didn't feel like everything was spelled out. In fact, the things that were spelled out were the things that would have been obvious anyway, which maybe is why it bugged you so much. You're like, why are you spelling out things that I don't need spelled out?
You know what? That's
and you're
a good
not
point.
Spelling out the subtler implications that you're making.
The messages they had like boiled down to writing is hard. We're not infinite resources, you know. And I'm like, cool story, bro. You work for me now. Get back to work and tell me a good story.
Yeah, I did like the idea of like, but all stories are really a structure and a narrative, and in the end. We're ripping away that topsoil and letting you see the skeleton of it. I liked that part of it.
I can imagine if you're unfamiliar with that structure, this would be fun and revelatory in a Rick and Morty kind of way. To me, it read as thinly veiled complaining from the writing department.
That's interesting. I didn't feel it was complaining, but I get what you're saying. It was a one-off, and that was the other thing, is they pointed out that we're not doing a one-off, meaning, of course, they're doing a one-off. And that's where we're at with Rick and Morty right now. And, it's a gamble. I got to respect the gamble they took to say, like, all right, when we come back from hiatus, let's just throw everything we have into a meta episode and see if anything sticks.
Here's,
and maybe it stuck for some more than others.
If I was to guess, let's see, a 10-episode season, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe 4 episodes are thematically all tied together or something, and it's like you got to come back with a one-off, or maybe you come back with the most gag-heavy one to please fans so they have the most to fawn over. I don't know.
What was episode five? Was episode 5 a one-off or a serialized?
Was Rattlestar Rick Lactica?
Oh, that was a fairly weak one too.
The snake time travel.
Wait, that one?
Yeah.
Oh no, that one was great. That was one of my favorites of all time. Never mind. I take it back. But it was a one-off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This episode, Never Rick and Morty, was written by Jeff Loveness, who also wrote Claw and Hoarder, the 4th episode about the wizards.
Oh yeah, that also I thought was one of the weaker episodes for me. That's interesting because, in fact, if I remember correctly, I commented on how I didn't like that the whole episode was just about how they don't like fantasy for this reason.
It's a little bit of the similar thing, right?
Yeah, and heaven forbid anybody should figure out that was the message on their own. They have to keep on shouting that's the message of the episode the entire time through.
Yeah. All right. Anything else about Rick and Morty?
Looking forward to next week. Still believe in everything.
Next week, Promortius. We'll see. All right.
Oh my God. Prometheus? Okay.